Well, I have a treat for you today. I am bringing on my friend Judy Weber to have a conversation with us all around how to scale your business. And she talks about some really simple steps that we can take. Now, just as a heads up, when we talk about scaling, we never want to scale when we're just starting out. Okay, scaling is an advanced strategy. So you already have a business, you already have a podcast, and ideally, you're already making money with a proven offer, whether that be coaching or the course or the whatever you do, okay? Once things are working and you're starting to recognize, like, okay, this is a well-oiled machine, like, I'm no longer in the constant rebuilding and building and like pivoting positioning, like, I'm actually profitable right now. That's when you want to pour fuel onto the fire that's already been kindled and begun burning. I use that example a lot with my P2P students. Like, hey, we're going to build this one bonfire. We're going to get it to spark. We're going to cultivate the fire. We're going to sit here at this campfire, okay, until it's like bonfire status. Like, we've got to focus on getting the one thing to work extraordinarily well. And that's when we focus on scaling. So just have that mindset as you listen to today's conversation. And if you, friend, have a podcast and you are ready to begin the growth process, get more downloads, increase the traction that your show has, learn how exactly to make money from a podcast organically. And if you're anything like me and my top students, I mean literally making sales every single day and having this vessel and this vehicle in your podcast that goes out into the world for you and brings listeners in and brings leads in. Friends, I have a 10% conversion rate from my podcast to our courses. It's just crazy. And I'm not saying that's what you'll have. I'm just saying, like, that's what's been possible for me through the power of podcasting. And I want to show you kind of behind the ropes of how that might work for you. So I want to invite you to come hang out with me for an entire week at the Profitable Podcast Bootcamp. This is going down August 14th through August 18th. It's a Monday through Friday. Don't worry, it's only 1 hour. We tried to schedule it during lunch break time. So it's 10 Pacific, 11 Mountain Standard, 12 Central, and 1 o'clock Eastern time. And all the details and where you can get signed up can be found at stephaniegass.com/bootcamp. But we are going to be going all out. Not only are you getting training from me live for 5 full days for the first time ever, 5 days, but we are giving away door prizes and swag right now as I record. And we are giving away up to $10,000, actually a little bit more than that, in scholarships. So whether you have a podcast or not, this is where you want to be. You have such a great chance at winning free stuff and, most importantly, learning. Having that posture of learning about me as a coach and mentor to see if we could be a good fit together in the future or not. There's zero pressure. It's going to be absolutely informational. Lots and lots of tactical training in this 5-day boot camp, but most importantly, it gets you focused on the things that actually matter to help you eventually scale a business. Okay. So again, stephaniegass.com/bootcamp. 1, 2, 3, go. Be there, be square. I'm so old. All right. Let's get into this convo right now with Judy. Hey, friend, do you want to grow your online business and actually make more money? Are you sick of feeling pressure to constantly show up on social media or be tied to your phone 24/7? Do you wish you had more time to be present with your kids without worrying about your business falling apart? There's a way to simplify and streamline so you can make money, grow your audience, and still have balance in your life and business. Hey, I'm Steph Gass, Christian business and podcast coach, boundary boss, and multi-six-figure CEO. Want to learn how I did it? Go refill your iced coffee because I'm about to teach you how to take your online business to the next level with God at the center of it all. I pray this blesses you. Let's get it. Hey, Judy, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Steph, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited you're here. So tell everybody a little bit about who you are in a nutshell. How did you get to where you are? And tell us a little bit about what you do.
You know, this question always kind of freaks me out
I know.
because so much. I'm 57. I've done a lot of living in my life, but
Sure.
To start here and then fast forward, I come from humble beginnings. I'm one of six kids. We lived in a one bathroom house, no air conditioning. Car didn't have air conditioning. Like, I didn't know I was poor until I got to college.
Right.
Which, by the way, I was the first one to go to college. So it was all a whole new world for me. From there, let me say this. When I was about 3 or 4 years old, I remember going to my mom, who taught me about Jesus. And we didn't have a whole lot in the house, but we had love and we had Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Right.
Yes.
And so I'm like, Mommy, I think I'm going to be a millionaire one day. She goes, what? I said, oh no, I feel like God's telling me he's got something really big for me. And anyway, all these years later, when I was in college and ever since I was really maybe 8 or 9, I wanted to be a lawyer, but I didn't think people like me could be a lawyer, poor folk. So I went to college, did really well, but I had 5 years between college and law school before I actually dove in. There's a long story about how I got there, but God is all weaved throughout it. Then I graduated, got a great job. I'm from Philly. I'm a Philly girl. So I hear I'm in this exciting job with this great, you know, look outside at Philadelphia. It's just like, hello, pinch me. Is this my life?
Right.
But even then, Steph, it just wasn't, I knew it wasn't my purpose.
Sure.
But I will tell you, I use my lawyer brain every day, the strategic thinking as a business owner. Okay, so lots of bobs and weaves. I got blessed to have my first baby in the first year as a lawyer. Let me tell you, and back in 1995, and it may still be the case, if you are a first year lawyer and you have the audacity to get pregnant, you are blacklisted.
Oh. Okay?
You are off the partnership track.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, when I first found out I was pregnant, I was in the office and I backed away from the desk. Got off the phone and I said, thank you, Jesus. I really don't care about this place. Even though I needed the money, I was like, here, you gave me a baby. Anyway, so bobs and weaves, got divorced, started my first business in 2003. It was an interior decorator. I got a booth at a home show. And that weekend I walked away with 14 appointments, closed 10 of them that next 2 weeks. So then I was like, oh my gosh, how do I service them all when I have my kids that are 2, 4, and almost 7 at this point? But you know, God walks you through these things. Fast forward to 2015, I got an opportunity. I had gone back to the practice of law because I got divorced, but I got an opportunity to go in-house as an HR director and general counsel for this international multi-million dollar company. And it was so neat. I was one of 3 women inside the boardroom. We met every week and I loved everybody except my boss. He was a male chauvinist, you know, blankety blank. He truly was. And anyway, about 2 years in, I'm like, this is not for me. He is just horrible to deal with. And that is when I jumped into coaching.
Yep.
Now, even within coaching, I've had some bobs and weaves, but since 2019, I spent a whole summer, Steph, on the couch with my Bible and a notebook and crying and saying, Lord, what do you have for me?
Yeah.
And this is it. Serving Christian women, really helping them to fully embrace who he made them to be, to really go big. You know, that's so in a nutshell, that's who I am.
Yes, I love that. So, and I think where your heart has, or where you landed is in this beautiful space of helping. It's mostly women, right?
All women. Yeah.
Take this business that they've created success in and multiply it, right? For the kingdom and for their families and really looking at that bigger kingdom impact, like six and seven figure businesses, right?
Right. Well, I just want to say, I do have 2 containers. The one is the mastermind that I'm going to be focusing on today, how to scale in 3 simple steps, 3 strategies to do that. But I also have a container to get you to your first 100K. Mm. So those are my 2 offers. So if you're in the earlier stages to 100K, I have that. And then for those beyond 6 figures and multi-6 to get to 7, I do have my mastermind, but I love it. And I teach them how to think like a CEO. When I went to law school, the first day they go, you're going to be given the keys of the kingdom here in law school and you're going to learn how to think. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's what I'm paying all this money for.
Learn to think. And I think it's interesting that there are 2 containers that you've built because I really noticed that it's a completely different strategy getting the first 100K. And then when you're getting to that next level, the 500,000, the million, like it's a totally different set of things that you're focused on. Hmm. So let's talk a little bit about scaling. Can you define what it means to scale a business for us? And then we'll talk about some of the things that takes to actually get there.
Yes. Thank you for that. Because the word growth and scale in the market gets really muddy.
Mm-hmm.
And I make it really clear. Growth is, you know, it comes in like incrementally. You're growing everything, really. You're growing yourself as a CEO. You're growing your clientele. You're growing your revenue. Scale is when you're able to leverage your time and you're able to leverage the things that you've already put in place.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's about doing more with less.
Yes.
And can I say, even going deeper in your faith in Christ to do it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm with you on that. So let's talk a little bit about some mistakes. I know that there are three things you have really identified as these things that get in our way or that we kind of stumble upon when we're trying to scale. Talk us through those, Judy.
Yes. And again, to be clear, I'm talking about six and multi-six-figure entrepreneurs. And really, more than entrepreneurs at this stage, I like to call them CEOs because they're thinking strategically, right? Okay. So the first key mistake I find at this level, and they all, by the way, point to decision-making, which is a key CEO skill we need to develop at any stage, right? But the first is team. And I find that happen in one of opposite ways. They're either going it alone with maybe one VA or two, but they don't really have those roles well defined and all of that. Or they overhire and they overdelegate. Like, I remember working with a client who was bringing in about six figures. She had five or six people on her team. And when I asked her, okay, what are the KPIs associated with that? And, you know, how are you managing them? And she was just like, wait, what? She's a professional. I just kind of hired her to do it. You mean I have to oversee that? I'm like, yes, you do. So that's the first mistake.
Okay, that's a good one. When you say that mistake, I can think of multiple, and even myself, like that have made that mistake before. I both overhired, and in the very beginning, had a lot of underhiring happening. Now I feel like I'm at this sweet spot. How do you know though? Like, how do you know you're in the sweet spot, or that you have overhired, or that you have underhired? What's the gauge?
Love that question. To me, it is when you're with every hire you bring on, or the team you currently have in place, is every dollar you invest in them, they're producing two plus. Right. And that's the importance of KPIs. And so going back to this real quickly, my example of my one-on-one client, she had a social media manager. And she's like, well, what do you mean I have to track her? Doesn't she? She's writes. And I go, what does she do for you? And it was always, she does this many posts, she does this, that, and the other three purposes. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, okay. But the purpose of her on your team is to drive revenue. So what are her goals in that regard? She didn't have an answer. You know, for me, one of the KPIs would be, okay, how many consults are you getting booked in a week? Right?
Exactly.
It's not just about likes and shares.
Nope. No. Yeah. It's about income producing high value activity or profit generating outcomes. 100%. And I, one tip on this from my end, like what was happening for me is I would really love someone, like them so much. And I'm like, yeah. And so I would just like bring them in, and whatever they want to do is great because they love you so much. But like, as you look at the numbers and the KPI and the data to find like, that is not actually helping the company grow. You have to be able to separate business decision from emotional attachment. And I think as a CEO, that is a difficult thing to do. Do you have any tips on that?
Yeah, I think especially for women,
Yeah.
because we have such a heart. Oh, we don't want to hurt their feelings and things. But I think that's where my legal training, I was a trial lawyer for, you know, over a decade, probably closer to two decades, in a very tough venue, like a male-dominated thing. So I had to learn actually how to talk to my secretary. Just a quick silly thing, it just popped into
Yeah.
my brain, so I'll share it. I remember going to my secretary's desk and having something for her to do. But instead of, as the men would do, even the younger associates, they would say, oh, here we go. I need this by 2 p.m. I would say, hi, how you doing today? Oh, listen, do you have time to get this done today? I'm like, what? I mean, when I realized that, I was like, wow. So we really have to put on our CEO hat. We can be friendly, but there's a job to be done. And so sometimes tough conversations have to be had.
Yeah, for sure. So good. Okay, give us the second mistake. I love that one.
Okay, this one is lack of systems or
Yep.
processes. You know, we're creatives. Look, I got tons of ideas. Don't talk to me about the back end. I try to pretend it's not there, is
Yep.
what I hear a lot, right? But if you don't have systems and processes, and ladies, I'm talking about standard operating procedures, and people say, I don't have any. Yes, you do. You just don't have it out of your brain on paper.
Right.
So if you don't have things in writing, a couple things happen. You have duplication of effort. right? You have a lack of clarity around who's doing what and what exactly is anybody doing really. And so there's inefficiencies, and then ouch, if somebody leaves.
Yep.
Because then it's like, okay, I don't know what she did. Yikes, you know, uh-oh, she's gone. And now what? So systems are huge.
Yeah. And I know with that one, it felt for me as visionary, right? And once I had my integrator on board, it was like, as the visionary, and often CEOs, not always, but are that visionary mind, where do they start, right, Judy, with SOPs? Like, do you start with the bottom of the organization up? Do you start top down? Like, how do you, just a few tips on getting started with building standard operating procedures and systems?
Yeah. And you know what? A foundational element of my work is simplicity. So I am not one to say you must start here or there, but yeah, I say start. Yeah. So a lot of times, depending where you are as you're listening, you may be the one to do the SOP, to say, okay, what am I doing when I, you know, for you, for like uploading the podcast from production all the way to, you know, publishing. But perhaps as you bring on somebody like a social media manager, let's just pull that as an example, sure, because I know so many people do it. Then you say to this person, okay, this is how I set you up for success. Okay, now I need you to produce the SOP. I need you to show me everything you're doing. I need you to set it out. So there's no one way to do it right. It's just getting started. And maybe even it's like, pick one area a week or even a month.
Yes.
Just take the time block it, and just do what you hate, because you're going to love it when it's done.
Amen. It took us probably a year to create all of the SOPs. And now the beauty is like, everyone has it. The pressure is not so high to worry about someone leaving or getting sick, because we know we literally have every single thing. It's not perfect, right? But to be able to step in and take anyone on in the company's position and at least fumble our way through it and get it done till they're back, or until we find a replacement for that. So that's such a key thing. And you're not the only person to tell me this. Multiple people who are multi seven figure, when I ask them, you know, hey, what are the things that have gotten you to where you are? The two things they always say, Judy, team and systems, that I'm here. And then of course, foundation, of course. Yes. So we'll see. What is the third mistake that you have?
This kind of sort of relates to the other two, but it's an avoidance of the numbers, right? The dollars, the data. And according to a recent study, nearly 72%, I think it's probably higher, of six and multi-six figure female entrepreneurs, they don't know their numbers. They kind of like, la, 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 la. I don't want to look at my bank account. I don't even know what to track sometimes. But, you know, when you get to this place and you have the mentorship or the coach that shows you, like, this is how you will scale easier, because you have a focus. I put everything that is necessary to track on one document for my clients. I call it the one-page summary, and they're like freaking out. They're like, oh my goodness, I never thought that I would have everything I need in one place. I say, put it on your wall and look at that. But yeah, you've got to know your numbers, ladies. You just have to. And the more you look at the numbers and understand them, it's a funny thing, but your revenue is going to be up. And may I also say your profit? You mentioned earlier revenue. There's a big difference between revenue and profit.
Yes, and there is.
I'm crazy about the profit.
Oh, heck yeah. What do you think is a great profit margin? Just curious, on like an online business.
I mean, again, it depends. Well, online business, I was going to say, I work with service providers. So online can be a little bit more than like attorneys or others that are out with brick and mortars and whatnot. Right. But, you know, 35% to start, it's just, again, just sometimes when you get started, it does take a guesstimate.
For sure.
With KPIs. So just use your best guesstimate and then track it and then adjust.
Yeah, for sure. And we have a similar thing. We call it the KPI dashboard, and it's one page, and you can expand in the little sections to see more detailed, but we fill them out once a month. Curious for you, Judy, is that what you recommend? Like once a month, really doing a deep dive of all the key metrics, or do you do it more or less often?
Yeah. I have weekly meetings with my team, and then we do look at monthly and quarterly for sure. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Amazing. And I think too, when we think about numbers, we always avoid the thing that seems hard. And so I'm constantly like, listen, everything's hard until it's not.
Yeah.
Start with a few of the numbers, Google them, see what they mean, put them in the spreadsheet. Next month, you can add a few, like, you don't have to go all or none or freak out. Like, this can be a place of education, right? That you can kind of evolve into. But if you're going to be a CEO, you're going to have to get savvy with your business. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And you're able to, I mean, every woman that's listening, I mean, I only work with women. I don't know about you for sure, Steph. Sorry. Oh, women. Okay. So every woman in the sound of my voice, you're smart. You can figure this out. Okay. And so you're like, oh, she's a lawyer. I ran from the numbers for way too long. I ran from mindset for way too long. So look, it's just about, like what Steph said, just get started. And you will, within a couple of months, start to feel like a CEO. Ooh, this is what I do. I look at numbers and I talk to my team, and it's really empowering. So just jump in.
Yeah. So good. Okay. So we've talked about the mistakes. What are the things we should be doing if we're interested in scaling? I guess my first question to the pre-question to the question is, when do you scale versus build, grow? And then what are some of the things to do if you are ready to scale?
Yeah, I ascribe to what I call the sophisticatedly simple business model. And so when I work with those ladies to get to their first 100K, it's really applies to the 1-1-1 principle, which is one offer, one best client, one transformation.
Are you me? Have you been listening to my podcast for 6 years, Judy?
You know what? Maybe it's Jesus talking to his daughters, saying, hello, why are we overcomplicating it? Why are we listening to why are we listening to the worldly gurus that talk about the ladder of ascension and $47 on up to
$40,000? No, stop.
Do you think that somebody that is a cheapo who's not really committed, going to buy a $47 thing, you think they're ever going to elevate? No.
So with you. I talk all the time. Everyone's going to be like, oh my gosh, I say 1-1-1 all the time, Judy.
Yeah. Well, the sophisticatedly simple business model just applies to what we talked about earlier about team. Yes. I only have 3 team members, but everyone owns their respective area. They own their role. They know what they're doing. And it's like a well-oiled machine. Yep. And that's really what you want.
Oh, amazing. So you hit that point. You're like, I've got the power of ones. I've got team in place. I've got my SOPs. I've got systems. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to start scaling and actually create the leverage of the things I've already done. What do you do? What are some key things to focus on when you scale?
Okay. And may I say that some that may be ready to scale don't have their back end, or they have a very sloppy one. And I'll be the first to say my back end's sloppy. Would you agree?
Mine was.
I'm still not perfect.
No, so, it's not perfect.
Yeah. So what I'm referring to is 3 strategies, scaling strategies to get you from where you are now to as far as you want to go. And I'll recite what they are, and then I'll tell you more specifically. The first is your breakthrough strategy. Second is your ops strategy. And third is your profit strategy. So your breakthrough strategy, when women come into my mastermind, we start with a 3-day in-person event because I really want to kind of download my entire curriculum, my entire methodology to them. But this is where we start. This is your marketing and sales and delivery, which is all part of the same thing. It's all providing value before, during, and after. And all that goes back to, again, dialing in your offer, dialing in your brand. You are the expert at something, not one of many, but one of one. Yes. So that's what I mean by the breakthrough. When you really have that dialed in, and your belief as it relates to your offer is a 10 out of 10. And I talk about the belief triad, and I don't have time to talk about that now, but the belief triad, when you believe in yourself and in you as an expert, in your best client, that is, God's got them out there waiting for you. They're waiting to find you. So make it easy for them. And you believe in your offer that, you know, it is the best, quickest, most wonderful way for them to get from where they are to where they want to go. That is when you will experience breakthrough. And all the while, by the way, going deeper in your faith in Christ, really walking the talk, you know. And I wanted to get into that because that's our next question. But okay, so that's the breakthrough strategy. That's number one. Yep. Number two is the op strategy. And we talked about this a lot. It's team, SOPs, and automation. Yep. So it's really getting that back end dialed in so that you have more time to step away, so that your team can at some point like run the business. Can you imagine being on vacation and not having to worry about what's going on back in the office? I have that by God's grace, and I want you all to have that. Okay. And the third, I'm sure you do, Steph, too. You just came back from vacation, right?
I was just going to actually say, so we went to Branson on family vacation for 8 days. And I told my husband I had like four emails the whole time because everybody had that's been taken care of. I get back, my week's already set for the next week, know exactly what I'm doing. I'm talking to my online business manager and the executive assistant, and they're like, oh, we already did it, took care of it. And I said, is there any single thing I'm even needed to do? And they're like, just podcasts, really.
Great.
Like, I literally like, and this has happened now the last three big vacations, like about the past 12 months where I'm like literally not needed. And I just thought, what a gift, like what an amazing feeling. Cause I used to be needed. I used to have to work all vacation and work on the drive. And like, I didn't open my laptop one time and it felt like such a blessing. And our revenue is way over projection for this month, you know, our profit. And so good. I'm glad you brought that up. Amen. Amen.
See, that is a CEO.
Yeah.
Right. The CEO of any Inc. 500 is not working on their vacations, right? I mean, No. It just doesn't happen. All right. So breakthrough, operations, and finally your profit strategy. And this talks back to something we've already discussed. That is the numbers. And here we're looking at, again, revenue and profitability, profit margin. We're looking at short and long-term planning. And we're talking about strategic initiatives like referral programs, collabs, affiliates, all of that. But when you dial in each of these strategies, you are on a massive trajectory. And really, any one of these scaling strategies can make a significant impact, not only on the dollars and the impact of you to your clients, right, but also your time.
Mm-hmm. So good. So you brought up faith. Let's talk about that for a moment. How does faith impact success in your business? What does that look like for you?
I laugh because faith is everything.
Everything.
Even for the unbelievers. And I'm talking about belief, right? So, I always say living our faith in our business. When I go to church, when I'm in a Bible study, I just did a story on this morning. I listen, and whatever lesson God has for us in life, 9 times out of 10, it's going to apply to business.
Yeah.
And so specifically when I'm talking about belief or faith, you know, believing before seeing, are we acting in accordance with our Christian belief system? Like we say with God, nothing's impossible, but are we living it? Right? Because if we know we're called to business, and please, if anybody out there is floundering, please don't let the enemy's lies like turn you anymore. Just please decide. Yes, God has called me. I've heard it many times. I'm not going to doubt it again. Right? But if that's the case, why are we doubting that God has already, selected your clients in abundance? God doesn't do things like in a little way. He's overabundant. And why are we doubting that we can serve those we're called to serve in a deep and meaningful way?
Right.
Right. And so, so why are we doubting? Like if you're sitting at $5,000 this month, why can't you believe that $50,000 is coming? If that's what your success is, if your success is decided, hey, if I get 100,000, that's great. Beautiful. I'm not saying that's wrong, but for those of you that have big dreams, stop feeling guilty about it. Mm. God gave you that ambition.
Yeah.
And I know for me, it's convicting, and I'm working through this all year. This is my biggest work this year, Steph. It is really walking my talk.
Yeah.
Seeing not only what's possible, but seeing the impossible that's possible.
So good. That's so powerful. I love all of that. So give us, to wrap up, the one thing that changed the trajectory of your business.
Well, you know what it is? It really is just that, walking your talk.
Walking your talk. Yeah. That's
it's
so
really
powerful.
It's really just believing what you say you believe, mm-hmm, and building your awareness. I have what I call the faith-fueled thought model, uh-huh, because, you know, it's always a battle of the mind, sure, in life and business. And so when we can truly be aware of our thoughts that are not serving us, and I believe that every thought has one of two sources: truth in Christ or lie of the enemy.
Yep.
Now, some people might say, well, that's not exactly, look, that I keep it simple. And if you care to give me an example, then reach out and we'll talk about it. But what I've found is that whenever we have fear, we know that's of the enemy.
Yes.
So stop letting whatever thought led to that feeling of fear to stop you. And so when I really become more and more aware and I hold those thoughts captive as unto Christ and really say, okay, I say, I believe this, am I walking in it? As soon as I started doing that, like a year and a half ago, and now I tell my clients I'm in constant breakthrough because I'm going deeper and deeper and deeper in my belief of the impossible, quote unquote, that is absolutely possible.
Right. That's so good. That's so key. And just, I know that that's such an evolution, I'm sure, right? It's a decision every day. It's a discipline every day. It's knowing this is, you're in it for the long haul because what else are we doing here? So it's like every single day, just go a little deeper, believe a little more, renew your mind one more time. Like, believe that God's got you today, tomorrow, and the rest of the time that you're called to this work. So,
Amen. I mean, we're called to the miraculous.
right.
And so my whole mission, I want to normalize miraculous results for Christian women. If you're committed to business, let's go. God's ready for us to step out in faith so he can bless us abundantly. No doubt about
Yes. Oh, you're so of my heart. I love it.
it.
So, Judy, where can my girls, my family come hang out with you? And I know you have a free gift for everybody today. Tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. I am everywhere at Judy Weber Co. At Judy Weber Co. Insta, LinkedIn, and Facebook are my go-tos. Of course, I have my podcast, Joyful Scaling Podcast. We'll have all these links in the show notes, I'm sure. Thank you for that. But my freebie, before we got on, Steph said hiring is something my ladies are interested in. So I prepared a hiring guide because it's time for you to build your dream team and do it in the right way. So we're taking all the guesswork out of strategic hiring. I take you through every step of the hiring process, who to hire, when to hire, what to pay, and even where to find them. So judyweber.co/hiring guide is where you can find that. And I'm excited. I want to hear your feedback after you take a gander at that, because I think your eyes are going to be open to how doable it is to build a dream team.
Yes. And as soon as you have someone, I'm like, ooh, this is so amazing. Like you think you they won't be as good as you, or they're not good. I promise you, they'd be better. So it's like, look into that. What a gift that Judy's brought today. Thank you so much for coming on the show, for blessing us with your wisdom today, Judy. It's been so much fun.
Thank you, Steph. It has been a blast.
Did you have fun
or learn something?
Leave Mama a review. Pretty please.
I hope you loved today's episode, friend. I pray it stretched you, challenged you, or grew you in some way. If so, would you stop right now and share this episode with someone else who's been praying for a business breakthrough? It would also bless me big if you'd take 30 seconds and leave a review for the show on Apple Podcasts. Lastly, come watch my free workshop where I'll teach you how to grow your online business in less than 2 hours a week using podcasting. Watch right now at podcastforgrowth.com. I'll see you in a few days. God bless.